At this time was very similar to Las Vegas. Very, very similar. It was a resort city. It was a place where people went for two things. One was pleasure. They went to experience. And they had a saying in Corinth, similar to a saying we have today. It's what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. And they worshipped pleasure. They worshipped sex. They literally worshipped it. And they had the goddess of Artemis, and it was on this hill back behind the city. And there were 10,000 of these men and women that would come down, and they were as they were priestesses and priests, and they would come down from the temple each evening. And really what they were was prostitutes. But they would come, and it was part of the worship. And so this whole city was built around this whole idea of experiencing pleasure. There's no right or wrong. There was no do's or don'ts. It was, if it feels good, do it. Go for it. There is no right. There is no wrong. The number one thing that they worshipped was pleasure. The other thing that they worshipped was thought, was philosophy, was coming up with ideas. And so to me, it's so much like our culture that we have today, which is, man, we've invented new ways, new technology to worship sex. And then we've also come up with all these ideas of my way is a better way than what the Bible says. And you know what? There is no absolute truth. There is no right or wrong. Whatever you think, hey, fantastic. It's good for you. Then do it, man, because it's all about you and what you want at the moment. And that was the heart set and the attitude in Corinth, and it's so similar today. And so as we go through this book, I am so excited because what they were experiencing, we live in it now. And the world that they were going through, the challenges that they were facing are the exact same challenges that we face today. Some things don't change over time. Mankind doesn't change that much, do we? We might invent new ways of sinning, new technology to sin. But the heart of mankind is the same. We struggle. We want to do things our way. And we want to do what we want when we want to do it. And we don't like to be told what's right or wrong if it goes opposite of what we think or believe. The Christians in Corinth were surrounded by temptation, just like we are today. And so the words of Paul that he writes in Corinthians are for us. So let's jump in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this. This is specific to the church at Corinth and then also to us. And the reason that Paul is writing this, this is in 56 A.D., and Paul, as we'll see at the end of 1 Corinthians, three guys come and talk to Paul and bring a letter of concern from the church in Corinth and from the people there. And there's this confusion, there's this worry because of what's happening in the church in Corinth. And you see, Corinth was so full of all the junk. And what the church was supposed to be doing was it was supposed to be stepping into this community that believed in all this junk, and it was supposed to bring the gospel in. And the church was supposed to impact the city. But what was happening at this church was the city was impacting the church. The city was rubbing off on the church. And so now the very things that the city was struggling with, they were coming into the church. And you know what? If we look at our church, all of us, you know, if I was to make a list of all the sins that are out there and said, every single person, if you struggled with one of those sins, stand. Every one of us would have to stand because all of us fall short of the glory of God. Not one of us is holy. Not one of us is perfect. We all need the grace and the mercy and the love of God. As Paul wrote this in 56 AD, he mentions a greeting to Sosthenes, who was the chief official in the synagogue at Corinth. And this man then later became a friend of Paul's. And then to the church in Corinth, about 5 years earlier, Paul had been there and he had started this church. It was near and dear to him. He says, while he was in Ephesus, he gets word of these problems about what's happening in Corinth. And so he starts and he says, Paul called to him the apostle of Christ. The first thing he starts talking about is some people in Corinth were saying, Paul wasn't one of the original 12 guys. He's not a real apostle. And so there's some false teaching that's been coming in. And he first states, you know what? I'm an apostle. I've been in the presence of Jesus Christ. And he states not only, because he's going to say some hard things. Guys, 1 Corinthians, it's going to be uncomfortable at times for us to go through it. Which is good, because the church shouldn't shy away from uncomfortable conversations. Because the truth of God's word connects with us in every area of our life. And we need to be willing to talk about some difficult things. We're going to be talking about marriage. We're going to be talking about being single. We're going to be talking about what they were talking about, what Paul was talking to the people there. Because he was talking to them about the people were bringing lawsuits against each other in the church. The quarreling had gotten so bad that in the church they were suing one another. There was a ton of stuff that they were dealing with, and we're going to be dealing with the same. Verse 2, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Once again, Paul is starting off trying to bring people together, because the first thing he's going to go into is that they're divided. So he's reminding them at the very beginning, you're one in Christ Jesus, you're one in the gospel. To all of you, to those people there and to us who are in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I always thank God for you because of his grace given in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way. In all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. Think about that. They don't lack any spiritual gift. Now, we've got lists, a few different lists, four or five different lists in the Bible. None of them are complete lists. This is a church that has all of the spiritual gifts in their church body, in the church family. Think of what it must have been like, because some of those gifts are healing, and not the kind of healing where you make a big show and woo-hoo and you pull the shoe out to make it look like the foot grew, but real healing. Some of it is speaking in tongues, and somebody will speak in tongues and another person will stand and give a word of interpretation. Others would go back to the word of God, and it was truth in the word, and they had all the areas, all the spiritual gifts. They had the gifts of help. They had the gifts of service. They had all the gifts in this body. What it must have been like to experience that. And it says, for in verse 5, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. They went to the word of God. That's where they were started on, as the truth of the word of God. And because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, don't forget, Christ is coming back. That's what he's saying. That's his message to us and to the church of Corinth. Christ is coming back. And there's passion, there's love, there's hope there. And then he comes. One more thing there. With this complete gifting and the body working together, how is it that now Corinth has this church that Paul addresses in a different way than he addresses other churches? Because with the other churches, you know what he goes to over and over? Different areas of legalism. He talks about different areas where they've taken the word of God and they've made it about the letter of the law and not the truth of the word in love. And so he keeps warning all these other churches, be careful about becoming religious. But to the church in Corinth, he says, guys, religion's not your problem, it's liberty. You've taken the idea that God's grace is cheap. Jesus dying on the cross was extremely expensive to Christ. It was not a cheap death. And the sin that you keep going back into, our hearts need to be, my hope and prayer is that more and more, as we sin, we're repulsed more and more by our own sin. And guys, I got to be honest with you. There's times where I'm okay with my sin, where I'm comfortable around my own sin, where I've allowed areas of my life to be comfortable to bring in things which go directly against the word of God. And sometimes I realize it, and sometimes I don't even realize it. Sometimes I choose it because I'm selfish and I want my way at the moment. Other times I've been lulled to sleep in an area of my life and I'm living in a way that doesn't honor God. So you guys, am I alone in this? I mean, guys, we need to be so careful. And so then in verse 9, he gives us the focus of the rest, of where everything from the rest of the book, all of 1 Corinthians comes from this one verse. The whole thing is to explain in detail verse 9. It's the heart and soul of 1 Corinthians. It says, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. You see, something that wasn't being experienced by the people then was that God had called them into fellowship. They had been called and made, gone from spiritual death to spiritual life. And they were not living in the truth of who they were in Christ. They were living according to the lie of what the world around them, what Corinth was saying around them. They were believing the lies of the enemy. They were believing the culture of their time. And so the truth of who they were in their relationship with Jesus was getting put on the back burner. And all the rest of 1 Corinthians comes from this verse, which is saying it's all about personally having fellowship, intimacy with Christ Jesus. You can't have that outside of faith, which comes by grace. And so the rest of the book is to explain what that means. And it's so important that we understand that this is the key verse for 1 Corinthians. Verse 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Okay, I just want to say, yeah, that's not going to happen. Right? How do we be perfect in thought, united perfectly? I mean, In my family, there's six. We've got four children. There's six of us. When it's just Julie and I, we're not perfectly united all the time. You bring in a whole church family of different backgrounds, different cultures, different experiences. How in the world? I mean, seriously, how in the world are we supposed to be united? How are we to be one? It's impossible except in Christ. Guys, it is absolutely impossible. There is no possible way that we can be united, that we can be one, except for being in Christ Jesus. It's a powerful name, guys, to be in Christ Jesus. That's where the power comes so that we have unity. Because outside of Christ, guess what? We're individuals who have every reason to disagree with each other. To see each other as standing against what I want. Outside of Christ, you know what? If you bless me, you're good. If you don't bless me, you're not so good. And you know what? You guys don't think the way I think, and therefore you're wrong. Because I'm right. Don't we all kind of have that thought in the back of our mind? I'm right. We love to be right. We want to be right. We know we're right, even when we're wrong. And so there's all this reason and reality of division. And yet in Christ, we can be united. Verse 11 says, my brothers, let me start back just a little bit. So I give it that full feel in verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. My brothers, some from close household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, hey, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas, Peter. Still another, I follow Christ. So you have the first group that follows Paul, and I call them the loyalists. You know what? Paul was the guy who came here 5 years ago. He's the guy that he started the relationship with. He's the one who brought me in. He's the one I know. He was here for a few years. He was here. I know him. And you know what? I follow Paul. And some of you are saying these things. I follow Paul. Then there were those who I call the stylists. Those who liked the cool presentation. Apollos was such a great orator. And he had the special PowerPoints of his day. And he had all the, you know, he was such a great orator and communicator, and he really knew how, and boy, I tell you, he had that personality, and boy, the stylists. They were drawn to his teaching. You know, some would say, you know, Apollos, I've heard people teach on the Old Testament, and it always seems so dead to me. But when Apollos speaks, man, it's like the Old Testament just comes to life. I feel like I'm in the story with him back in that time. Then there were the traditionalists. We need to go back to the way it was back in the good days, the good old days. Those who followed Peter. Man, the loyalists. You know what? Peter was there with Jesus. When others left his side, guess what? Peter kept going with him into the temple. Peter was the one who followed him the longest. Peter was with him at every single step. We need to follow Peter. I follow Peter. If you don't follow Peter, you're not with me. And then there was the most dangerous group. I call them the self-righteous. I follow Christ. You don't. You follow man. We're like this. Christ and I. It wasn't that intimacy of love. It was that look at me. I'm better than you. Separation and quarreling had become the very core. It became their calling card. It became what the church in Corinth was known for. Oh, those crazy Christians. They're busy. Yeah, I mean, it looks no different inside the church than it does, except maybe they sue each other a little bit more. It's interesting. Division has many different faces. You know, we can follow people. We can follow the person. And my hope and prayer is you don't follow me. If you guys ever have an opportunity to follow me, stop what you're doing. And know that if you follow me, you will be in grave danger. Because I sin, I blow it, I mess up. Pray for me as a leader, one of the leaders of this church. Because apart from Christ's work in my life, I'm just going to lead in the wrong direction. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that I have anything to offer. We've got leaders who love Christ. We're celebrating Homer coming in as our new elder today. Praise God for that. Pray for him. Pray for the other elders. Pray for the leadership here. Because we don't know how to lead apart from the Holy Spirit leading us. We have no answers apart from God. We have no idea of what to do apart from the truth of God's word. But divisions can come not only in people. You know, what I don't want to hear is some of you saying, you know that guy who does the sound in the back, Glenn, our elder Glenn, who's always so faithful, but he is a servant. He is a servant. He has an unbelievable servant's heart. But my prayer is that some of you don't say, you know, I'm following Glenn and well, I'm following Ron and I'm following Pastor Matthew and he's got the P in front of his name. And we find all kinds of things, doctrines. We can take something and the God's word, and we can take it and we can take one little piece out of context and have all our focus be on one little piece that's out of context. That's how cults are born. We'll find ways to divide if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Some of you, if I read from the NIV, NIV! I enjoy the NIV, the ESV. I struggle with the King James. You know why? Not because it's not a good translation. It's because I don't speak Old English. I'm limited in my understanding. I can take a verse I've memorized, read it in the King James, and go, huh? Because I didn't grow up with that. Those people who grow up with that, it flows. You read NIV, you're like, what? But, man, one version is not, now some of you will disagree with this, we can share multiple versions of the interpretation of God's word. Some people will only listen to their favorite preachers. Guys, you need to hear from more people than me. My hope and prayer is that as time goes on, we will be having more people preach. I'll be doing the majority of the preaching, but my hope and prayer is that you get a steady flow more and more of other people and that you hear from other pastors through the internet. There's a lot of opportunities to hear from amazing preachers. If you just get the diet from what I have to, you're going to be extremely limited. It's one piece of the whole pie. What an opportunity. This morning I was down with Jim teaching in the class. Guys, that 9:30 class for adult Bible study, unbelievable opportunity. Unbelievable opportunity to hear in-depth teaching, to learn about the history, the culture, what's going on around the Word of God, and then how the Word of God fits in, and how to go back and forth. It's fantastic time. Don't miss out on that opportunity. Just an incredible opportunity. Jim and Chet, who teach that class, we are blessed here. We are blessed. We have great teachers. Don't listen to just one. Verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I love that. Is Christ divided? See, the attitude tends to, this attitude of I follow this idea or this person, it tends to try and divide, chop Christ up and put him into bite-sized pieces that I can give in my way and in my time. And no teacher has a complete understanding of who Christ is, of what the Word of God says in its fullness. We need other people. We need multiple ways of God's truth coming into our lives. You know, I was thinking about it this week. Have you ever wondered why there's four Gospels? They're so similar. But I believe this is one of the reasons why. Because one gospel isn't enough. Matthew is taught from this idea of speaking to the Jews of its day, and it speaks in a language that the Jewish people could understand and connect with. Mark is written to the Gentiles. And all the Greek people, all the people outside of the Jewish community, they would get that language. These different guys have these different areas of focus. It's like watching a basketball game. One person sees the game, and that was an unbelievable defensive game. And as they tell you about what happened in the game, they talk to you about the defense. Somebody else, man, they love offense. And they, same game. But you're getting it from different sides. Why? Because one person, Holy Spirit driven, but there's still the element of the character of the human, can't grasp it enough. So we got four gospels. Four, why? Because we need more ways to hear about Christ. Goes on in verse 14. Go back to 13. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? Verse 14, I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. But beyond that, I don't remember if I had baptized anyone else. In other words, you know what? It's not about me and those I've baptized. It's about Jesus, not about Jesus and. Is baptism important? Yes, we're doing it today at the end of the service. When we go downstairs, we'll have a few minutes to get ready. And then for those of you who are there for the fellowship time, we're going to go right out here, right out the side door. And Dionne is going to be baptized. I'm excited about it. And baptism is about making a statement of what's already happened in the heart. Dionne has already said, I've chosen with my life to follow Jesus. I'm willing to state in front of my church family, this is my choice. And it's important because it's not just Angel's choice for him. He's a young man. He's making a statement from him to the church saying, this is what I choose. And we get to support him in that. We get to walk with him and support him being a young man in Christ. As a church family, we come alongside him. It's exciting. So he's not saying that it's not that baptism is there's nothing but positive about baptism, but that's not where we don't focus on the outside. It's about what baptism represents, what's already happened in the heart. Because you're saying, I'm showing you with water what's happened in my life spiritually. I stand for Jesus. I follow him.
And verse 17 to finish up. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. This starts a whole new thought on the difference between the wisdom of God and man's wisdom, which it goes into next week. And Paul says he was sent here to preach the whole gospel. Guys, the gospel is knowing Jesus intimately and personally. Back to verse 9. That's the gospel. Being in fellowship with God himself through the work of Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have an answer. When there's problems that come into our lives and there's no earthly answer, we have an answer in Christ. When temptation comes, and I promise you, if it hasn't hit you in the last 10 minutes, guys, I got to tell you, I have all kinds of opportunities to sin while I'm listening to somebody else preach. They say something, and I'm, that's not me. I hope he was listening, because he really needs to hear this. Jerk. Oh, I hope my wife heard that. We had that conversation just the other day, and she didn't do what I said. She had an opinion of her own. How dare her? Doesn't she know I'm the pastor here? She's my wife. She knows me. I mean, knows me. The good, the bad, the ugly, the worse. And she loves me. Because she has the example of Christ. Guys, there are so many reasons for us to try and grab at edges of the gospel. To keep it safe. To keep its power away, because its power means I've got to come to that power in humility. I've got to come and say, I don't have the answers to my life. And God does, and I'm willing to submit my will to his. And that's terrifying. It is so scary, because it's saying to God, I'm not in control of my own life. I don't have the answers. God, I don't fully understand you, because I can't, but I'm grabbing on with both hands. And here we go. Here goes the roller coaster. And you're saying, put your hands up and enjoy the ride. But I want to, man, enjoy the ride. When I go on a roller coaster with Julie, guess what she does? Not only does she have her hands up, she's encouraging, okay, everybody, put your hands up, put your hands up, put your hands up. Enjoy it, put your hands up. My sons, who refuse to ride roller coasters, are standing on the ground saying, and the girls are going like this. One of them's like this, the other one's like this. And Alexia is like, woohoo, mommy's got it all right. Guys, we need to put our hands up, enjoy, trust God. Trust God. And it will be a wild ride. Wilder than Mr. Toad's wild ride. At Disneyland, wilder than any ride. It's going to be difficult, I promise you. It will be challenging, it will be taxing, it will be exhausting at times. But you won't be alone. You won't be alone. You won't be alone. Guys, think about that. You won't be alone. That is good news. Because the gospel is Jesus died for you and I, so that we could have death, not only the pain of death taken, have an answer to all the stuff of life, which is, I don't know, but I'm trusting God. He's my hope. He's the one I put my trust in, not me, not my intellect, not my ability to manipulate the situation around me. I trust God because he's perfect and I'm not. And with that humility comes a joy. And there'll be times where you start, put your hands back down. And God's saying, enjoy the ride. Trust me. Trust me. So let's trust Christ. I'm excited, guys, for 1 Corinthians. It's going to be a wild ride. We're going to hit a lot of different topics. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It will be challenging. Have your heart prepared to be teachable by the Word of God. And pray for me. Because there's some areas that it's not a primary theology. There's some secondary theologies. And so primary theology, we hold in a close. Jesus is Lord. The Word of God in its original writings is without error. We hold those here. That's close theology. Secondary theology, man, there's some of those. We're going to have a strong opinion, but hold them in an open hand. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, your long-suffering, your willingness to put up with us day in and day out. Father, I thank you for this new year. Lord, Naja, what did you call it? You don't do New Year's resolutions, you do what? Lord, I pray that we would have spiritual goals this year. That they wouldn't be New Year's resolutions. They would be spiritual goals that we follow, that we trust you for, that we go in your strength. So, Father, humble us. Do what you need to do in our lives to humble us. Father, forgive us for being proud. Forgive us for having the answers apart from you and the truth of your word. Father, may we be passionate and hungry for your word and hungry for your truth and desiring to be intimate and finding our greatest pleasure in you. Lord, forgive us for where we've sought pleasure in other areas. Forgive us for where we've cheapened love. For where we've cheapened grace. Father, we're excited for your word. I pray that you would take this book of 1 Corinthians and change our lives because of the truth of your word. Lord, show us how to love you back in ways that bring honor and glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.